to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Ever Beyond. This is April the 22nd, 2012, and that means it's just about time for the end of the world. We've been subjected to many prophecies, or are they programs, about what's going to happen this year. Have they been created by people to make us scared? Are they really true, the ones from the ancient times? How do you know what they were really saying? You only got translators to judge against that. So how do we trust the people who are translating all this ancient stuff? How do we trust the people who are saying things now about things that are unfolding? How do we trust anybody? How do we know? How do we discern? How do we discriminate? And other things is, when plans are unfolded, as they have been doing, how do we know when it's going to be the time when it culminates? What do we know about accretions? With me tonight, I have an illustrious guest list here, and I'm going to start with from the north, and we're going to go downwards. We're going to start with Tracy Kennedy, speaking from somewhere near the Arctic Circle in Guelph, Ontario. Are you there, Tracy?
I am. Thanks for having me on, JP.
That's you there. So it is.
That's me then. Here I am.
Greetings.
Here.
And clearing his throat somewhere in between the two is Randy Morgans. Good evening, Randy, or good afternoon for you.
Hey, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're gorgeous. Fabulous. In a manly kind of way. Okay, don't worry about it.
Yes, we want to keep it manly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, got to keep that black leather jacket, you know, tightened up. And I'm sorry, Sam. Randy, go.
No, I was going to say, except for Tracy, we don't want to make that masculine. We need to keep that feminine. That's the balance.
Yeah, keep her feminine side.
You've heard me. There's nothing we can do about this.
Look at the backs of your hands, Tracy. Just keep looking at the backs of your hands. So,
and
finally, we have down in somewhere in the desert somewhere, in a bus with a little satellite aerial poking out the top, Karen Quintostado. How are you, Karen?
Well, I'm fine, especially since I'm not coming to you from the desert.
Oh, right. Where are you?
I am in southern Oregon in a beautiful, beautiful place that has so much water around it could hardly be considered a desert. But
right.
I am happy to be here nonetheless.
I always get this kind of play Misty for me kind of bus in the middle of nowhere. Kind of. But there you go. So you're in a beautiful place that is like green
I
and
am.
Everything. All right, and maybe
very green,
yeah.
Very green.
Ah, right. So we're all northern hemisphere, very north. That's excellent. Whereabouts are you, Randy?
I'm near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, one of the great Illuminati centers of the Northeast.
So that's great. We got some. I'm broadcasting from northern Scotland, as everybody in this room knows, but not out there in Wolf Spirit Land. So it's really good to to welcome my guests, and I'm also wishing to welcome all the people who have come to Wolf Spirit Radio this afternoon for originally the Drake interview, and have stayed on because it sounds so cool and we're very relaxed and nice people and we're all good to listen to. So where should we start? Who's bursting?
I'm a little bursting.
Go on, I know you're bursting, Tracy. Go ahead.
Well, I guess we've all seen the programming, and in every way we could possibly think of, like TV shows, movies, even new prophecies come out.
Randy, could you mute your mic?
Hello.
Sorry, it just sounded.
There's one right now.
It sounded like you were moving furniture. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. My mic must be really sensitive.
It's very, very.
Actually, what I was doing was grabbing a bottle of water, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent. I'm sorry, Tracy. Do carry on.
I was just gonna say, we have to admit that it's not hard to predict a leaky boat's about to sink. And I, too, have seen a lot of resignations and people leaving positions of somewhat power, but they've all been quickly replaced. So the positions are not gone. We could be, perhaps, just seeing a change of the guard.
This is what we've been. Well, this is one of the worries, isn't it? That it's just a kind of big show, and look how we're getting rid of the bad guys. You know, while we snuck in a couple of even worse guys who look good.
Yeah, but, maybe they weren't doing the end of the world thing properly fast enough, so they brought in new, more terrible guys. I got this amazing list from Thomas today of all the bankers. And I think there was close to 600. Mm-hmm. And I picked the first one, two in the middle of the list, one at the end, and they were all replaced quietly by men who are equally in the same group. So, yes, a lot of people have left. But, you know, this is how corporate takeovers go.
Yeah. Yes. So, are we waiting for the Night of the Long Knives? Randy?
It does kind of feel like it. We know that something's going on. The question is, what is the guiding hand? Who's in control? And, you know, I'm not comfortable with what almost anybody's putting out right now because I'm not seeing a lot of details that I can put my hands on. But at the same time, we're going through changes. And I think a lot of it is, who do you trust and how do you interpret what you see around you?
Indeed. So we're coming back to that, who do you trust, you know, because that's one of the big programs that we're given, you know, that indeed there is, in fact, no one to trust. There's no one you can trust because
ourselves.
Everybody's part of the gang, you know. And there
you
go.
You can trust yourself.
Yes.
And isn't that where we need to start, is even with hearing this information, and I would love for this to be true, but I also see still the world going on as usual. A six-year-old girl was arrested and put in the back of a squad car for throwing a tantrum in school. She turned over a desk that hurt her teacher, and apparently he wasn't able to handle a six-year-old. You know, there's a lot going on that is so counterproductive to who we really can be. However, when Drake speaks, he brings up and touches on many issues that we do need to resolve. So while I don't know if this is actually happening, I do know that feelings are very, very important. And I would encourage people to, instead of automatically knee-jerk reaction, oh, this is stupid and this will never happen, to think of the possibilities of how this world could be. And even if this is not going down the way that it has been talked about now by Drake, then the seeds for it to be able to happen have been planted, and the only people we can trust to make sure it does happen are ourselves individually. You've got to step up when the situation occurs and be accountable and act with honor and integrity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Aren't we really, Tracy, and I think you might agree with this, we have to recognize that we're all co-creators in our reality, that there's this gigantic universal reality that we live in, but then within that we have a huge amount of control that I don't think most people have taken advantage of. Most people do not understand the creator inside of them and their ability to, let's say, tip the matrix. And that's where I think this whole thing hinges on right now. I seriously believe that 3% of the world can change the world by the power of intention and belief.
I think it's probably maybe even a smaller number than that can spark that 3%. And I think what you've actually this is the way it works, right? Okay, so there's a you have an idea, and a few minutes later you start seeing signs that that idea is actually manifesting in the world. And that was one of them, because that's where I wanted to get to on the show, and Randy, you picked up on it exactly. In that we're in a place, a time, a moment where thoughts manifest. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but in the last 2 weeks, I've had more synchronicities, more fulfillment of deja vu ever. And this is it. This is like the nexus moment where, you know, this is from here on in. The moment you have a negative thought, you will hurt yourself. I am not joking. I don't know if anybody's had any experiences like that here, but it's one of these. You have a bad thought about something, and then you're like, you might even bite your cheek or you spill your glass. You know, everything is coming together in the idea that we're becoming co-creators of the new reality in our just everyday lives. Oh, that's a terrible thing. I wish that was better. How could that be better? Rather than saying I wish, because that keeps it in the way it was. But we say, you know, how do we make this? How can I make this right? How can I fix this solution? How can I bridge this gap? And we're being given the power, I believe, to make that change. And I think that is one of the secret things that Bill Brockbrader was talking about in that initial interview with David Wilcock, that there was, you know, they were having that kind of sniggery thing. Oh yeah, well, everybody's going to know about it soon enough. And I think this is what we're talking about. I believe. What do you reckon, guys, girls?
I think you're right. I had some. I don't know. I'm still learning to tune into being able to understand messages, but Time to Choose came really clearly to me, repeated like 3 times. Time to choose, time to choose, time to choose. And I believe that it's directly related to what you're saying, that we are co-creating, and you too, Randy, we're all co-creating what is happening and the vibrations that are coming in. If we're choosing to be acting with honor and justice and integrity, if we're choosing not to ignore the problems, but to find the solutions, like you said, JP, or solutions, where we get down even deeper and understand that it is about love and forgiveness and holding the space for these things to come to pass so that our world can change and shift towards the age of enlightenment that we've heard about, so that we can take possession of all the knowledge that's been hidden from us and really be able to start cleaning up our world. But we have to start first with our lives individually, one heart and one mind at a time.
Randy.
You know, I've played around with this idea for a long time of two worlds, of, I guess, what we now call timelines. And we've heard a lot of people talk about the convergence of timelines, or that there are two parallel timelines that will intertwine. And my sense of it is that consciousness is a very tricky thing. It is very much intention-based. It is very much based on what we perceive, and what we perceive a lot of times is in our hearts. And I'm thinking more and more now that we've been hardwired into this matrix reality, and that all of our reflexes, everything that we've been conditioned to believe and to respond to, are the things we need to stop trusting, and that we need to start trusting what I think was alluded to earlier, which is the intuitive side. You know, repeatedly, and JP, you mentioned synchronicities, and I consider synchronicities to be little miracles. They're bubbling up to the surface. They're telling us that there's something, there's like a wellspring down below. I've repeatedly had guests talk about these ideas that we're now in the convergence and that we have to choose. And isn't it interesting that we're talking about choosing?
I think you're right. And the choice. See, this is the thing. This is what is the question that we are choosing? That's the big question. Tracy?
I was just going to say that I'm with you all on this. This week has been miraculous gifts for me. Amazing things have happened. And then I was knocked down so much by this bizarre illness that I have that I thought, that's it. It's got me this time. And then I said, I just need a little bit of help here. And then miraculously, I went from not being able to stand to getting up and walking down the hallway within minutes. It feels like almost I'm living two lives at once now. And every moment is a drastic change between one life and another. It feels like I'm jumping back and forth between lives.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
That's interesting.
Because I had a very similar event happen to me a couple of weeks ago. And I was visited by somebody who had a strong effect on me in the past. And then they came. And they left, and you know, everything was handled all right. But a while later, I was like almost set back into that old mindset, and it was really depressing and depressive. And I thought, no, this is not who I am. You know, give me back my powers. You know, and you know, I was straight back there. But I see what you're talking about, and I think it's to do with being in our fear body. Randy, what do you think?
Wow, I never heard that term before. That's an interesting term, fear body.
Yeah.
That would be the one that's wired into the matrix,
yeah.
The black matrix.
Yeah.
The third and fourth dimensional. See, I think the shift is all about movement into the fifth dimensional realm and beyond. And we've been, like I said earlier, we've been programmed, we've been anchored into this, and a lot of it is fear-based. A lot of it is negative-based. A lot of it is, ooh, they're out to get us, and ooh, they control us, and they control our world. And we haven't really taken responsibility for what happens to us, and we haven't taken responsibility for the power that we have to change our perceptions and project them outward.
You know,
so true.
I've noticed, too, having I don't know, it seems like lately I've been going between being excessively cranky and then having to remind myself, wait a minute, I know better than this. So I didn't.
But that's the energetics right now. That's what's going on. That's what we're going to talk about with Rebecca Jernigan on Tuesday night, because some of it's been amplified and some of it's been manipulated. The highs and the lows are more pronounced now. It's funny, because about a year ago, I made a prediction on one of my shows where I said that contrast was being reduced, that everything was going to get more heightened. Black would be more black, white would be more white, and we would begin to lose the shades of gray. We were going to go through this energetic experiencing pretty much a full-on effect, and I think that's what you actually may be experiencing.
Maybe, because I have to really consciously watch it. I have moments of just such clarity and wonderful heart-centered love feelings, and then I'll get really cranky, and it'll be like, where did that come from? Who said that anyway? Who thought that? But I find it interesting that you say, so you believe that we're moving into the fifth dimension, whereas we've heard Tolek, who's guested with JP, saying mm-hmm. that we'll be moving mm-hmm. into the fourth dimension at the
Tolek
end of...
Yeah,
at the end of January, and I don't know. So tell me why you think we're moving into the fifth dimension.
This is actually a pretty well-crafted theory of mine based on some metaphysical studies that I've done in my own experience. The fourth dimension is a time domain. It's attached to the three dimensions of physical space. It is simply what orchestrates the movements within the matrix. So above time, which is the fourth dimension, and I think almost everybody agrees on that, above time comes, and giving them numbers is just a way for us to quantify it. It's really not the universe's language at all. So from my language standpoint, I don't think Tolek's right. I don't think Tolek's wrong. I think it's a conceptual thing. To me, the fourth dimension is tied to the three dimensions. And I view it that way because I see time as anchored very deeply in physical movement and physical properties, whereas when we move out of that, we begin to move into another dimension, which is above that, where we begin to manipulate, probably a bad word, time and space itself. You rise above the matrix.
This is an interesting way of looking at it, because from the esoteric point of view, the physical plane is the seventh subplane of the cosmic physical plane, and it goes down. You know, there's all these different levels. So when we're talking about like existing in the physical plane or the third dimension, and then we go into the fourth plane, that corresponds with what we call the astral plane, which a lot of people, you know, talk about the astral plane. It's the sixth subplane, and that corresponds to the sixth ray that operates out of the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the energy of fear and of devotion. At the end of the sixth ray, which is the sixth ray age that we're moving out of, we're moving into the seventh ray age of ceremonial order, but we're very much in this six energy. This is all a whole 666 from my point of view, is the astral, because you know, somebody with a sixth ray mental body is incredibly focused and emotionally focused and you know, passionately focused. Somebody with a sixth ray emotional body has a is an explosion about to happen on the emotional level. And if they had a sixth ray physical body, it would be like a sausage that was about to burst from the grill. Yeah, so that's the 666 energy. Yeah, do you get that? Now you can feel that, right? And you wouldn't want that. You know, you don't want to prick that. You know, because it's going to go boom. I'm sorry, Tracy, because you do. You're here representing the 6-3 Soul Group, and
I'm representing the 6-3. So am I a sausage or am I an explosion?
You're doing your best to
I am doing my best.
The positive side of the sixth ray is aspiration, right? And what Tracy has, she aspires to know the truth and to be one with the truth. And that's one of the strong elements. And that's, say if you take the distilled spirit of all the students of the esoterics that have existed in the last 2,000 years, and we've all been riding the sixth ray wave, and we've all had to go through the sixth ray energy, which is like being in the soldier or being a nun or being, you know, married to this, you know, married to the church and all of these things where you're kind of, you're forced to give up yourself in order to be one with the collective. And you aspire to be one with the leader, and you know it's all about aspiration, about lifting yourself up. But of course, you know, with all the fear and the trauma and all that stuff that's been injected into it, we're dealing with a massive sludge of emotional energy, which is what we call the astral plane, which is where the plane of illusion is. And it's been fed. This is that louche, that, you know, that emotional liquid, that all these swarms of energy-eating space aliens have come to this planet to drink on, you know. It's like a great big fountain of louche of this sixth-ray energy, so they drink that. But the whole thing's going to be moving into a seventh-ray energy, and it is moving into a seventh-ray energy, where we're much more connected with our own individuality within the collective and how we can be part of an organization. When I use the word organ, we're talking about like the organs in the body and the way that the chakras match with the organs and the way the organs have their particular function. And that's a clue to how the ray will operate. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. So... So when we're talking about the sixth ray, we're talking about the end of a very long age and the distillation of the good and the bad. And it's finally come to the end, when it's like you're dealing with a test tube full of this oil, or you're dealing with, the Gulf of Mexico, with the, you know, all this sludge and stuff like that. That's kind of representing the spillage of the astral plane, and it's going to be transformed, and we'll be able to, for instance, maybe use it as food or road tires or something like that. But the energy will be transformed by the people in the seventh ray. But now we're looking at the end of the sixth ray, which is the end of the people who require slavery.
So we get back to then, who do you trust?
Who do you trust? Who do you love?
But I think it has to start again with ourselves and heart-centered thinking. I believe that more of us need to come into heart-centered thinking and also try and wrap our minds around the fact that we have different labels and languages to explain things that are happening. Like, I don't know if we're moving into the fifth dimension, the fourth dimension. I do definitely feel a shift happening, and that the frenetic lower energies that have been dominating this planet are in their last dying throes. I look forward to people coming together to co-create energies and to help release the energies that will clean up the Gulf, that will heal our planet, you know, and that will offset the radiation. I've heard also that when we raise our vibration anyway, we offset whatever radiation is out there, that it's all about a choice, you know, to choose to be conscious and to understand that no matter what label is put on anything, it's all created from that same divine source, which we are created from. It's all the same, stardust. It's just that we can have... that we can direct it, we can shape it, and we truly can co-create a joyful existence that has not been seen on this planet in thousands of years, if ever.
Or in the sector of the galaxy. Apparently the galaxy has sectors, just like in Star Trek. Interesting, huh?
Doesn't surprise.
It is interesting.
Well, it's great to know your address, isn't it? You know?
Well, I think we're all... finally realizing that we're not alone in so many different ways. And when scientists come out and say, look, we don't know what that is. And I actually heard someone from NASA say that. And I'm like, that is so brave.
Thank you.
I did. I thought that was miraculous. He goes, no, I don't know. And I applauded. I stood up and applauded. Because there's so much hitting us. And not just physically, emotionally, like our everyday to day lives, we're seeing so much spinning around that it could be overwhelming at times. I saw that in the chat room, to be honest. People want so badly to have someone tell them what's going on. If someone could have said, and how long does it take me to boil this water? You know, the questions weren't that benign, but
boiling water is always
interesting. We're looking for something. It would be nice if someone would just say, you know, because we've a lot of us anyway, have had our whole life where there's been at least somebody saying, this is how it's going to be. And it was like, oh, thank God, it's a voice of trust. This is the daddy I've been looking for. And, you know, I feel that, and I don't mean to sound rude about it, but all of the people who are standing up now with these great revelations, and I'm not saying they're not, but there seems to be such a desperation that when people don't get their specific questions answered, they're in a turmoil. They're having a tantrum. So I understand we're all in this X-ray thing, because any moment I would like to lose my mind. I don't very often. But, you know, I get so frustrated, and I understand what people are feeling. This has been my life, so I know why people are going through it now. But there seems to be just a, and like Karen was saying, like, you know, if we just look at ourselves, say, look, we don't need daddy, whether daddy is government or another person or the right job or the right whatever, the right raise or the right cosmic fifth world, sixth, I don't know. If we could just say, you know what I need to do for me right now, and do that one thing, I think it would go a long way.
Yes. It's, you know, to draw back, that is about this whole self-sacrifice thing. You know, it would do everybody a favor if everybody who was self-sacrificing all the time would just kind of spend some me time. Because that will give them a break, and it would also give the rest of the world a break. But because, you know, because a sixth ray person can be full on all the time. It's intense. So this is how you know, you have to encourage them to take
chill
some space,
out, right?
To chill out. Yeah, chill the heck out. So
you're not the first person who's told me that.
Well, you know.
They usually type it and then run. Go on.
But, so...
Well, I was going to say, it's also, you know, they spend over $200 billion a year, at least in this country, on public perception management. And when you really think about what that means... They have all the money. It's unlimited pockets to tell us how to think, what to say, what to do. We're born into their systems. We're forced to be born into their trauma-based mind control systems. Hospitals are not our friends, not as they're set up right now. And we're vaccinated. We're also messed with on an energetic vibratory sense even before we're born, with the ultrasounds and the other things that are really not doing us a service as energetic beings. And then when we are born and we're vaccinated, it's like our bodies are vehicles, just like a car. You get in your car and you drive from point A to point B. Well, I firmly believe that I'm spirit having a human experience. And most people, regardless of what religion they belong to, believe that we go on beyond this. But in order to keep us from that divine connection, again, we're born into their mind-controlled, trauma-based systems. And then our vehicle, if we're born in a little Volkswagen, you know, they take that Volkswagen, vaccinate it up, try and throw all the toxins at it they possibly can, and they stick us in a big car carrier on their freeway. And it takes a while to actually start to learn to even think for ourselves, or that we actually do have choices, and that saying no is not necessarily a bad thing. And once we understand that we do have choices, then it's going within to follow the choices that we resonate the most with, you know, for the higher vibrations, because hatred and anger only really hurt ourselves. I mean, yes, we can take them out on others, but when we carry around that big ball inside of us, we're damaged, and we have a chance now to really become the heroes of our own lives, especially in this year, and to take advantage of the vibration, and regardless of what dimension that we're headed into, fourth, fifth, let's make it a dimension where we're self-empowered, making choices for the greater good, because when we are fully living our lives in joy and peace, We're fully living our lives. There's no need to pick up arms and go fight with people we don't know and murder them because somebody told us that we need to. But what better lives could we have than the simplicity of gardening, being close to the earth, growing your own food, being close to your neighbors and your family, and really understanding that this is a joyous co-creation. And I believe we're about ready to really break free of all the negative energy, or so much negative energy, and turn it around and really stand up and become the heroes of our own lives.
Randy.
You know, what do you say after that? That was awesome. That was completely awesome. A lot of what we talked about, when we were talking about the energies and the different dimensions and things like that, we can get real caught up in semantics and language and miss the point that we're still dealing with finite, and dealing with the infinite means we have to take things to another level. And I don't think it's so much complicating things as it is just to strip it down and make it simple. One of the exercises that I do is I like to go into what I call the still. And that's the place where it is just an absolute vibrational place of joy. You could call it whatever you want. You call it prayer or meditation. You could call it God. You can call it spirit. But it is that place where you cease doing your own thinking and allow the universe to just flow through you for a while and give you like an energy bath. And coming out of that time, I generally find that things start to come back together. It's not as frenetic, it's not as crazy, and there's clarity. And the need to speak and express things sometimes goes away, because the mind kind of begins to recompose reality from what I would probably call a dream state.
So, when we're talking about the fifth dimension, which is what I was getting to, but we're going through the fourth dimension, which is the astral plane. And, you know, this brings it all together, because it's the plane of illusion, it's the plane of glamour, it's the plane where things are not what they seem. It's moving through the Dark Lodge, you know, in the Twin Peaks. Brilliant series. If anybody ever gets the chance to watch Twin Peaks, like, you need to take a weekend to do it. You know, get coffee and pies in and donuts and do a Twin Peaks weekend. It's brilliant. Every character is very strong in their ray energy and the archetypes. So when we're talking about the astral plane, that's the sixth plane from the top of the seven. So it's one up from the bottom, which is where we are. And it corresponds to the liquid plane. Once we've managed to dissipate that liquid, it's going to boil away. And everything will move into the fifth dimension, which is it's what we call the mental plane, and it's not a it's not the unpleasant part of the mental plane, which has this concreting thing that says this is that and that is this, and you know, and there's no other way. There's actually six other ways of expressing mental energy, and some of them are fine and beautiful and absolutely connected with nature and the creator, and being able to express the creative ability of nature to work through you and recreate the world as you walk down the road.
Right. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Crazy frickin' hippies.
Tree huggers. Well, but anyway, that's
JP
what it's about.
And I are old enough to remember that in the flesh.
I got your beat.
I remember it. My dad sang in hair, and I am just still grateful that my name isn't like Moon Dust Star Glow or something.
Yeah, it's only like Lightbringer, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I said, you hit my name. He goes, well, you see, that's much better. I'm like, thank you.
I saw somebody in the chat room was saying how ancient Twin Peaks is. It does seem ancient, doesn't it? But it wasn't that long ago. And it reminded me of the movie Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, which is a complete essay on trauma-based mind control.
Absolutely. And the Dark Lodge, the operation of Dark Lodge, the kind of people that are involved and the way they think. You know, I love that that scene in Twin Peaks when the hotel manager and his brother are discussing several things that they're involved in at the time. And the brother is just talking about this sandwich that he ate that was like the most amazing sandwich. The other guy is talking about the lawsuits that they're in, the murders that have been going on, the drug dealing that's all gone awry. And they're having this conversation. It's like, that's exactly what they're like. You know, they have these very cold conversations about the, you know, the awful things that they do, and like really passionate things about like food and that what's that hedonistic kind of sense.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever been around gangsters, that's what they're like. They are seemingly nice people. They go to church every Sunday and do confession, and then on Monday they're out on the streets and enforcing contracts and doing the business of the family. Mm. I mean, they're completely creatures of dualism, of this dual plane that we live in, this yin yang kind of thing.
Mm.
And this aren't we all?
Well, I just want to go there, right? And I'm going to take it back because, you know, this is the esoteric show. And so to break that down, it's all to do with the fact that these people operate on the fourth dimension or the astral plane. And what we're seeing...
The astral plane.
What we're seeing is the expression of that into our physical plane from the inside out. But what's happening is that we are moving inside and beyond the inside, so we're now seeing them from the other side, as if we're walking right through the stage, walking right through the curtains, and looking back towards the audience and seeing the people operating the scenes behind the scenes.
Well, maybe like the Wizard of Oz, where you know, Toto is pulling back the curtain, and there we see that there aren't there many.
And who is Toto? People. Toto is the total. If you see everything, you have to look at everything. So that's why we need the rainbow. Back to the rainbow hippie thing, right? This is why you need all aspects. And this is what we call community. When you have a community, you have everything covered. You have old people, you have young people, you have scientific people, you have heart-based people, you have mechanics. You know, you have all the different rays represented, all the different colors represented in archetypal form. That produces a correct organization. And you could call it a rainbow circle. And once you've got that correct organization, that then it's like an archetypal pattern that forms everywhere. It's like if you put a piece of dust into some crystal, the crystal will instantly start to form itself around that piece of dust.
You know, what I found interesting earlier was to go back to Drake's conversation. He was saying that this is the only part of the universe that has the negative energy. Did you guys hear that also?
I caught that, yes.
I heard it.
Yeah, and I was wondering about that because you've got light and dark. And while I understand that we need opposites, I've also read before where we actually incarnate over and over to master our emotions. And I know that when I look back on my life, and Randy, I live the hippie generation. I'll be 60 in September, so I'm well on my way into my little old ladyhood.
I'm very close to you.
That now is into his little old manliness, you know?
I'm actually more of the punk generation, to be honest.
I sort of straddled between the two of them, interestingly enough.
Yeah, with leather trousers, huh?
Yeah, then skinny ties. Mohawk haircuts.
Well, I'm waiting for a lot of baby boomers to remember how we felt and the outrage we had at being lied to over Vietnam. You know, right now, I'm not hearing nearly enough people my age saying, wait a minute, you cannot have my grandchildren. You cannot have my money. You cannot have my support. You will not have my support for your wars. And actually, I also think that now, and some of my fellow boomers are politicians, which is not good. I think that now any politician worth his salt or worth his weight, period, should be stepping back from the hill and going directly into their community and telling them the truth about what's going on. And if they're not doing that, they're not worthy, in my opinion, of holding office or taking any of my money, and they should be fired as soon as possible.
Well, they're all busy worrying about the gas prices for their Hummers right now. They're a little busy, Karen.
They're giving each other Hummers right now, Tracy. Stop it. Wake up.
I'm glad the ladies on this show went that way.
Yeah, we can maintain...
Oh, wait, no.
We can maintain some kind of moral rectitude. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I think there are no politicians worth their salt, because by becoming a politician, they entered the arena of the initiatory orders that were designed to keep everything under tight wraps to control things. So nothing short of a total house cleaning at this point in my mind is going to work, because these guys, even the ones that have gone in as junior senators and then, you know, the minute they walk down the aisle, they're co-opted. They're no longer effective leaders. They're self-serving. They're service to self. And we're going to have to redefine politics or the operating system for what we now call politics. I think it needs a new operating system, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, all we need is administration. We just need people to circulate the forms and just do things right? And these are really boring people. They're not celebrities. Okay? We should absolutely get rid of the whole model of a celebrity, like the celebrity culture of politics nowadays is just like who's got the biggest smile. They're all sharks. You know, which shark do you like? That one over there or that one over there with the hair? You know, screw that. Excuse me. It's not about politics anymore. It's not about left and right. It's about establishment versus people, right? So what we need to do is disestablishment the establishment, make them back into administration as what they're called. You know, they're all called administration. That's because they're supposed to just administrate. They're not supposed to rule, you know.
Yes.
What happened with government was government took on a life of its own. It became self-sustaining to the point that now it's choking off those who originally funded it and supported it. And that's our fault, because we got lazy. Ben Franklin famously said outside of the Constitution Hall after they drafted the Constitution and was asked, "So what form of government have you given us?" And he smiled and said, "A republic if you can keep it." Because he knew we couldn't.
Yeah, well, a republic isn't a republic not a government? Republic people are supposed to be free. That means that they're not governed. Governed means controlled, slowed down.
It's one layer away from the real government, which is our ability to govern ourselves from a higher order. And that's really, right now, one of the questions that I have about... all of the things that Drake has said, and I did not hear today's show, so I can't comment on it, is if we're going to have this, I guess you would call it revolution, will it be effective if we don't raise the spiritual dynamic of the people who were liberating? And would they, in fact, even recognize that they're being liberated? Would they maybe not infer that they're being enslaved? And that's one of the questions that kind of dangles in my mind right now, is that effectively, freedom is a state of mind anyway, so we have to change the mindset of the people.
We've got
a huge task ahead of us.
No, it's not difficult, because it's going to happen all by itself.
Wow.
You see, this is the difference. You see, it's not going to come from on high. People are just going to do it. All right? And this is why I'm saying if we observe the rainbow model, which is, it's a true, tried and trusted community building exercise that has been going on for millennia, because that's the way it works, you know. There are only a few archetypes of human, and we work in a particular way, you know. It's a long story, but that's
maybe what you're saying, JP, is that by dispelling the dark energy, we effectively liberate humanity on a number of levels.
Yes. And the way we dispel it is because we realize, you know, we're becoming more and more light, right? We're becoming more and more able to do magic things like see into the future, understand greater things. We're able to search on YouTube and find anything that we can ever imagine. We're collectively, we are becoming very much more aware than just the street upon which we live. And that expansion of awareness, realizing, you know, on Facebook you see things about people that you've never met, but they're kind of very much, you know, they all go to parties, everybody goes to parties, you know, everybody gets drunk, you know, everybody looks ugly, falls over, you know, and you see that the whole world is doing the same thing. And when we realize that actually we're all the same, you know, then the only separation happens because of the tyranny of the banks, which have been coming through this sixth ray energy. So, right, first of all, the illusion of money. Again, we're talking about a sixth ray illusion. It's an astral plane projection that has been projected onto our world, but in fact is no reality whatsoever. Money has no reality. The belief in money is stronger than the belief in Jesus or in Muhammad or in Moses. I don't know. Who do the Jews believe in?
Pumpkin.
The Great Pumpkin. Yes. Thank you, Tracy, for the...
But Rebecca had a guest this week who talked about imagining our world without money.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just... Sorry, Karen, but I just want to kind of keep drawing this apart, because the projection onto our world of the idea of money is something that we can actually let go of very quickly and easily. But everybody's so been made so busy by this illusion that they haven't realized that it is an illusion. And it's like we've all been trained to wake up at a particular time because of the sound that our alarm bell makes, right? It's conditioning, it's programming. We're all programmed, and we collude in this programming by wearing watches. You know, we wear a watch. We are a slave to time. It's a manacle. Okay.
Good call.
Yeah,
like that.
What time is it?
Yeah.
It's now.
Yes, I have it. I often look at my wrist and say it's spot past pimple. But anyway. But the idea of time as well, you can see time's doing really weird things. You know, we've only been on this show 50 minutes, but it feels really long. Have you noticed?
Feel long or really quick, both.
Yeah.
I'm living in the two worlds right now, so I'm feeling both.
I am too. Although the month and the year is passing very quickly.
Absolutely.
So much is out there that is happening, and so much misinformation. I think that it's going to be the hardest on people who don't realize yet that they have a choice. They're the ones who are going to deal with feeling more lost, because if you are always looking to someone else, to a religion, to a politician, to your parents, to your boss, to tell you how to feel and think, then you are going to feel pretty lost as this year progresses, especially as more and more corruption rises to the surface and you realize that everything you've been taught to believe your whole life is a lie.
Okay, so here we go. We got to spiritually detox the world in 9 months, right? Or less. That's essentially the problem, you see, because we're all suffering from what we call esoterically glamour. You know, you've heard that if you can go back to the radio archives, there's a thing that was a few weeks ago. It was in March, 18th of March, and I ran the meditation, which was called The Ending of Glamour. Now, everybody who can listen to this...
Your radio show, right?
It was on my radio show, so it'll be under Ever Beyond with Jay Perron. And it will, if you run that as many times as you can, stand it, because it's quite intense. This will that will affect a movement in your astral body and in the astral body of all the astral energies that you meet from that point onwards. And it will start causing it, very much like the crystal... what's that word? The supersaturated crystal solution, when the crystal starts to crystallize, bang. There's a moment there. That's the kind of equivalent of it. It sets a pattern. Once the pattern is set, everything just falls into place. And this is what I'm saying, Randy, about the Rainbow Council method. You know, once you have representation of all the appropriate archetypes, and it generally means about 8 people, you can start a community. Right, and it doesn't matter what the community is. It can be a monetary community, which is what we call a LET system, and I've had quite a lot of experience in that, and we use the rainbow method. But it can be any form. It could be like, who decides how the town's how the town's waste should be dealt with. You know, it's what we call a council. Except nowadays, all the councils have become establishments and have great big buildings, where everybody else in the town has really crap housing, you know, and they've got this massive mansion, you know. It shouldn't be like that. It's a council. It's a council of people. It's a council of elders. We need to bring back the elders. Randy, you're feeding back.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, you need to take the automatic mic control off Skype. That's what you need to do. That's what that's doing. Uncheck your automatics. Anyway, so, we're going to be hit with glamour. Oh, the gamma rays, yeah. So, anyway, is everybody still there? Tracy?
Yes.
Oh, Karen?
Yes, we're still here.
Good, 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 good.
Right. I'm muting. Al's mowing the lawn in the background, pushing it around.
Oh, so bless
you. I'm muting
heart.
My mic until I pop in.
Whoa, Randy, you're overhot.
Man, Randy's on the freeway.
Yeah.
He's crashing and banging.
He's got the turbo going.
Listen here, Dr. Destructo. Settle down.
Should we have a tune?
Sure.
Should we play a tune,
man?
What should we do?
I would like to now sing Fish Heads.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm in a band, right, and we have a singer. And a couple of weeks ago, he spontaneously started going, Fish Head, Fish Head, Fish Head, Fish Head. It was mental.
I'm contagious.
Yeah, I know, and he doesn't even know you.
Nice.
Right, so, here's... Oh, yeah. Right, talk about self-organizing and spontaneous. This is a very bizarre little tune. I had a man in my studio who was an actor, and he had a lovely voice. And he read a bunch of poems, and I merged one of his poems with this tune that we created. And this is called The Wandering Engus. It's kind of quirky. Yeah, let's put it down as quirky. The Wandering Engus, featuring Ray Armstrong and The Usual Suspects. I'm on drums, I think.
The Song of Wandering Engus. I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand, and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing, and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream, and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame, Something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. Had become a glimmering girl with apple blossoms in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering through hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone and kiss her lips and take her hands and walk among long dappled grass and pluck till time and times are done the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun. I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head. I cut and peeled a hazel wand and hoped to bury it to a dead. When white moths were on the wind and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. Laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame, but something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. Become a glimmering girl with apple blossoms in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. I will find out where she has gone and kiss her lips and take her hands and walk among long dappled grass and pluck till time and times are done the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun.
Well, 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 here we are. We're having a great party here. I'm just going to fade in. Have you stopped giggling now? Yes, good. Somehow, you know, it always happens when these two are together. We've had to say goodnight to Randy Morgans because he's got a lot of technical things to deal with. But it was great to hear his input and great to have his presence on the show. So, and we've replaced him with Mr. Thomas Hughes. Good evening, Thomas.
Oh, hello there.
Hello. What time is it at your end?
Oh, it's 6 p.m. my time.
6 p.m. in Texas.
Yes.
And
thank you for putting an extra S in the end of Texas. That really kind of sinks it in, doesn't it?
That's right. Like you've got Tomass on your name here.
Right.
I hope you did that deliberately.
I did.
Yeah, several levels of layer in there. And we're still joined with Karen, who's undecided whether she's going to go out and mow the lawn with her husband or stay in here and just talk.
Well, it looks like he's done most of the lawn mowing. Here he comes. That's the door. So maybe I'll wait until another hour. It'll be cooler out there anyway. And yeah. I've got enough hot air, so I guess I should stay here and get rid of it.
Excellent. And Tracy, have you managed to?
Yeah, I'm not giggling now. I'm okay.
Okay.
I've recovered.
Big breath. So, where were we? Who to trust?
Well, maybe we should ask Thomas, because he's been talking about things coming to pass that actually some of his Indian friends have been telling him about, and the prophecies being fulfilled. And Thomas is pretty much of a skeptic. So, Thomas, where do you stand on Drake and all this unfolding?
Well, the proof is in the pudding. And I'm still saying two words, show me. And those are two words that I'll always say when anything is presented to me. Now, what I can say about that is that some of the things that have been told to me, I have been being shown. So that gives me, if I can use the word hope, I don't even like using that word very much, but it does give me hope that other things are valid, but I'm still saying show me. And there have been some things said by Drake that have shown me before the actual events come down. I guess you would call it code talk or code speech, that has come to me through other sources as well, that really has me leaning towards, okay, when is this going to happen? Not just show me, but when, because I'm hearing these things being said that nobody else will be privy to unless they've walked down some of the same paths or roads that I have. And it gets very interesting when you start dealing with those things.
Well, the timeline, he said from April 8th, 45 or 35 days?
30 to 45 days is what he said, yeah.
So it should be pretty, coming up pretty quickly as we, okay, so we're in the end of April, so then we've got April, May 8th. So sometime around mid-May, we ought to hopefully see Hillary Clinton and the rest of the cabal being handcuffed and escorted to the FEMA camps so that they can stay there, or actually maybe to the jails that are overpopulated with people who shouldn't even be there on minor like marijuana charges and things like that. It would be wonderful. I tell you, thoughts are definitely things and feelings are things, and nothing would make me happier than just to imagine, you know, Obama in handcuffs and Hillary and Cheney, you know, the perp walk or the poop walk. Or the perp rock to get rid of the poop would be a great thing.
I would like to recognize the fact that it was my birthday, which was the mark off of the new time, and the Archbishop sang a song to me and mentioned me by name. Well, you didn't say Tracy, but no, it was close enough.
In St. Peter's
Square.
Did he say Tracy?
Of one of the cross-dressing Vatican guys. He had a dress on.
A minister in dresses.
Yes. I do
That's
not know if he had tights on, but
one was Popey Le Pew.
Yep. No,
his ass holiness is stepping down.
We'll see.
Well, that was supposed to happen on April the 15th. I haven't heard.
Yeah.
That's true. I haven't heard it either.
And the Queen was supposed to resign and all this bollocks.
They die of natural causes. Yeah. Well, meat and poison.
Poison is natural. It's a natural product, isn't it?
What do you think?
It's organic.
Well, if you look at the Emperor in the last Star Wars, and hold a photo of the Emperor in Star Wars, right next to a photograph of Pope Benedict, there's an amazing similarity between them, isn't there?
There's been a picture going around.
It's striking.
That have them in exactly the same pose in this kind of thing when the Emperor blesses Darth Vader, and when the Pope is blessing the son, they're in exactly the same pose.
The same hand thing. I've seen that.
Yeah, classic.
This is the first time I've heard of it, but that is very interesting, because definitely the Pope right now, his ass holiness is very, very evil looking, and we got to get rid of all those guys. I mean, and think about it too, they are cross dressers, like you say, Tracy. They wear Dagon hat, you know, a bunch of old men who kiss the ring and bend down in front of each other and talk about altar boys as their little treasures. These guys have got to go.
Yes, indeed. So, back to the people behind the scenes, the theater. You know, we're talking about,
yes,
you know,
the
like
theater.
Being behind.
Are we not entertained this year? Are we not entertained?
Oh, yeah. It's been very dramatic. Lots of drama.
Did you see what B-Word wrote in the room? And I think it was really, really striking to me, because she was saying, so, you know, it's not even mainstream media on their own now. We're kind of electing our own new celebrities. And I'm like, well, we're going for the anti-hero, perhaps. And, you know, the ones who... And I'm not saying they're wrong, but they're coming with their own stories that are somewhat outrageous and entertaining. And from what I saw in the chat room, to be honest today, guys, what really struck me is people want answers, because we're so used to being spoon-fed, right?
Yeah.
But they're angry when they don't get them. It's personal now. But I asked, how long does it take to boil the water? Have you ever seen water boil? Has your water boiled differently than my water? Wasn't the exact question, but, you know,
yeah,
kind of. And then there will be long discussions on the water, and, you know, if the water, if you do this, the water's different, and, you know, if it's Illuminati water, it's a little different. I'm like, it's still water. Are we missing the point? We're listening to the guys, but it just seems everyone wants a hero so bad.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what it's about. This is the sixth ray energy.
And what you said, they don't want to do it themselves, Jay.
Mm.
They're still waiting for some outside force to come in.
Okay, so this is where the sixth ray has to take itself up and pick itself up and turn towards it. Instead of waiting for a hero to become, you have to aspire to becoming a hero. You find the thing that you're really upset about, and you say, what would John Wayne do? What would so-and-so do? What would Jesus do? Whatever your hero is. Oops. Here's my crystal.
well, they wouldn't do that, would they?
But the gist is to become the hero that you need. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. This is the whole thing. We are the people we've been waiting for, you know. Unbeknownst to you, growing up, you were thinking, one day the spiritual warriors will come to the earth and we'll be all part of this whole great collective, without realizing that actually you're the ones who are actually making, creating the collective, creating the ideas that you need to become a collective, that doesn't stamp on people's individuality, that expresses people's individuality and creativity in such a way that it benefits the collective and themselves all at the same time, and everybody's happy and everybody's prosperous, and that's why they call it a golden age. How about that?
Well, I think we have to learn, too, that the time for freedom to be passed down to us without our individual participation and sacrifice is over. And again, the people who aren't paying attention, the people who are so disempowered and too busy to look within or to honor that voice inside that tells them something is wrong, those people who keep covering that up, they're going to have the toughest time with all these changes that are happening, because massive changes are on the way. And, you know, the money system, all of it. And I do think that some of these in the background are taking place, although it's hard to – we can't just rely on anything that Drake says or anybody else says. We really do have to get involved and look in our own local backyards.
I think local is the key. But I just want to address something, which is you know, what's coming up in the chat room all the time, you know, the dichotomy between the Messiah programming and how to move into the self-organizing collective, which I, you know, I'll say right now, this is the way it's going to be. Not because I say so, is because I can see the trend will happen, and this is the way the energies will work, and this is the way it will play out. That we're moving into a seventh ray, and the way the seventh ray works is through organization, and it's not through domination and dictation, and that's why it's going to be good. Sorry, Tracy.
No. Sorry, sweetie, to burst in, but I have a question. It goes on the lines.
She bursts.
Do you think what's happening right now is we're just actually growing up, and eventually all children have to lead the garden, so to speak?
Exactly.
We have to leave the house. We have to leave the place where someone protects us. We have to leave the place, realize that some things are wrong because we had a part of it.
Yeah.
We allowed it to happen. We let mommy and daddy choose for us. And every child has a moment where they say, you know what, I'm going to choose. And maybe this is the global thing that's happening now. We're having a global growing up moment.
Yeah, and that's what we call the planetary initiation in the esoteric world. And this is why all the blue books were written, in order to prepare for this moment. And here I am. I'm the only bloody person on the internet radio station ever who's talking about it. It's a bit weird, but anyway, there we go. There was a vast amount of information released about 100 years ago, and it's absolutely stomped on by the Dark Lodge, and demonized, and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, this is what we need. And this is what... This is essentially what's happening. It's going to become, you know, the way it works is it's not going to be tyrannical, because it's not going to be organized in the same way the last period of time is. People, it doesn't work. People are crystallizing in a different way. They're not like a molecule that's an ion, a free radical ion that is waiting for some oxygen. They are fully self-contained, realized what they are, but they realize that they're a part of a whole, part of a collective, and they got something to give, and they got some things to receive, and they know how to be responsible enough to make that a give and take, and so that you don't act as a drain, and yet everybody benefits.
And I think, Tracy, that was a great point, that we're all kind of growing up and having to step out of the garden, or having to step finally into the garden to grow our own food, to firmly attach our roots to a spiritual divine connection from which we all came, that is greater than all of us individually. And yet, just like an ocean is full of drops of water, we are those drops of water, you know, and some of us are evaporating up in different reincarnations, and others of us are falling back down. And then how deep do you dive once you hit the pool?
Evaporation is a very interesting word. That's one way of meditating, you know, just imagine that you're a drop of water and that you're slowly evaporating. That's an interesting way of looking at the world and see what happens when you do evaporate. Can you condense again? Thomas.
add something for everybody to consider or think about during this?
As long as it's not below. It's not. Below. Yeah, okay.
it's not.
Well, we don't trust you anymore, okay. Thomas. We don't trust you anymore. You're going to have to earn that trust back.
No, I'll earn it statement by statement, okay?
Okay, and, go on. Be wise.
You know, a lot of people who get into alignments and energy and everything else, everybody's looking at 12, 12, 12. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, the number 13 is a holy number. And it's such a strong number and such a holy number that the powers that were made 13 into a bad luck number. We know there's 13 full moons. And if you do 4 weeks, do the math, 7 days per week times 4 weeks in a month, that's 28 days. If you do 28 times 13, you get 364. Which leaves one day before the year is ended, and that last day is the holy day of the year to celebrate and rejoice in that which is where all of our lives come from. Now, what I'm wanting people to consider, since everybody likes aligning with dates and putting the word out there about 12/21/2012, but has anybody considered 13/13/13? That's going to be next year. And the 13th day of the 13th month actually falls on December 13th, because December 1st is not the first day of the 12th month. It is the first day of the 13th month. And anyone is welcome to do the math.
So you got you have to redefine your months, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah.
But
So whatever you're saying, yeah. So it's the 13th to start on the 13th calendar. That's one way of doing it. But you don't know. You see, here's the thing: the whole calendar relies on the fact that the Earth is spinning at a particular rate and it's orbiting at a particular rate. This could possibly change.
Well,
imagine if the Earth didn't just rotate. Imagine if the Earth wobbled up and down and rotated at the same time. We wouldn't have the same concept of day and night. We wouldn't have the same concept of week anymore.
Well,
the sun would spiral across the sky.
We've got a woman right here on the line with us. She has access to some of that from her own family. What did the Mohawks say about the 13-month calendar, Tracy?
Oh, just a putting me on the spot, eh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're representing, Tracy.
I'm representing the Mohawks. Well, and I must say, it wasn't entirely from the Mohawks. It was from the Mohawk Haitian line of my peoples, who said that every year we added a day, basically, so January 1st was not always, say, on a Monday, it would change to a Tuesday, because they were adding in a wobble, basically. They didn't think it just spun. They think it went up and down as well, like you just said, JP. And actually, no one has ever said that to me before, other than in my family.
And the crazy man on the show that just asked her about it, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Good note, Thomas. So, when did they say that the Earth wobbled?
Every year.
Every year.
Yes.
So it's got us.
It was constant thing.
All right. So it's got constant perturbation. All right. So what I'm saying, all right, just hear me out. When a large planetary body or a comet or some brown dwarf might possibly pass by our planet and swing it out of its orbit for a second or so, or maybe a day or so, we may have a different number of days per year. That means, but the thing is, what do we mean by a day? So if the day really, you couldn't really define a day, because the sun would rise, it would set, it would rise, it would set, it would then spiral across the sky. And then it would set, and then it would rise, and then it would set, and then it would rise, and the same process would repeat. So essentially, you're what you thought was a day in the old days, when there were days. You know, it's amazing how much our speech is absolutely linked in with the apparent constant of the rotation of the Earth. And if that wasn't really, you know, the same anymore, we would have a whole different way of looking at time. And now, I'm not saying that this is going to be a something that happens, but I just ran the thought experiment through my mental simulation of what would happen, and it's an interesting thing, and that is would certainly be an explanation or a definition of what they would mean by the end of days. It's not the end of the world; it's the days, the idea of a day.
Yes.
Or maybe it's the end of days, D-A-Z-E, when we'll finally really wake up.
Well, again, so waking up is taking us into the astral, out of the astral plane and into the mental plane, and in the upper mental plane, essentially. And this involves an evaporation process, because the astral plane has to evaporate. So the whole place is going to dry out. Somehow.
Well, it's also, isn't it, a real return to loving ourselves, to finally start to recognize that when we can face our own demons and begin to forgive ourselves and to work at releasing them. And one thing I do when I recognize it and I'm being in more of an aware state is to understand that the fear and the darkness that is within me has been planted there by others who are so invested in this criminal cabal and the darkness and the war and everything. I mean, they're head on, they're running over the cliff, and it's like lemmings in the background. And it is, when I recognize it within myself, I send it to them. You know, I try and help them to fulfill their need for all the darkness and everything, so they can have it and turn on each other, instead of me holding it and turning on my friends or my husband or something or listeners, but to send that darkness back to where it will do the most good and help them to complete their karmic cycle and then destroy themselves.
Well, it's an interesting thing, you know, the idea that how to fix something that's so dark is to actually kind of bless it and send it light and send it truth. And, you know, people will then come up and say, hey, this product is more than toxic. It's, you know, it's killing people. Where people would go up to Monsanto and close them down by citizen, you know. This is the way it's going to happen. It's going to become a complete inversion. It's like everything's going to turn inside out.
And it does mean though we must love ourselves. I remember a cartoon I saw years ago, just flipping through the channels, and it was about Tutankhamun, and he was a little pharaoh cartoon, lived in a sarcophagus, a big full-size sarcophagus in a museum, and he took up, you know, just not even really half the sarcophagus, and he could never get comfortable in there. And it had just a whole lot of, it was fun, but one of the things that has stuck with me is he had a little girlfriend who came to see him one day and said, you know, hi, what are you up to? And he said, well, first I paid homage to the sun god Ra, and then I basked in my own glory until noon. I thought, now how cool if we all could bask in our own glory. If when we were born, our parents, instead of coming from the poverty consciousness and being forced into, again, their trauma-based mind control hospital centers, but instead, if we were born into families who said, we are so grateful and happy to have been able to birth you into this world, and we cannot wait to see what gifts you have, and we're here to guide you. We're not here to force you or spoon-feed you our dogma that has been passed down for generations of slavery and blind obedience to religions that only serve the few. And now we're back to Pope Le Pew, his ass holiness with all of those cross-dressers. But to really start to bask in our own glory, we all have such great gifts that we can give the world. Once we begin to understand that we are equal and that we can love ourselves and forgive ourselves. That essence that created us out of love. And when we can forgive ourselves for being part of this grand illusion and understand that we're here for a bigger purpose and that we do have choices, and I believe that we can move forward. And if I may, I'd like to share a poem that kind of wrote me when I finally did start to love myself, and it's a short one called Looking in the Mirror. At last, I find I am content, no longer touched by fear, on solid ground without lament when looking in the mirror. For all the past that held such pain, hard lessons that I learned, my song of life, myself to gain, my innocence returned. For when I look into my eyes, the person who I see has come to finally realize within lies my beauty.
Lovely.
Thomas. I share something or go. Make a submission on that.
Submit to me, yes.
The thing that I would like everybody to consider, and I'm getting echo on Karen's mic, if you could mute for a second, because I don't want to hear myself talking.
You're okay here.
Oh, okay, well then, I don't know where I'm echoing at. Maybe it's from you, JP, I'm not sure. In any case, I would submit that we do love ourselves, okay? And let me speak on that for just a moment. We're all here right now. We haven't committed suicide. We do everything we can every day to assist those life forms around it, be it dogs, cats, other humans. We do things every day, so give ourselves, each of us, more credit. Even yourself, please give yourself credit, because we're out there in the trenches every day, living life in this, I can't think of a nice way to explain it, this thing that we're all living in, okay? Just put it that way. Every day we're out there doing it. We do love ourselves. The problem where the distortions really occur is when we deal with other life forms, mainly humans, that don't see us for who we are. They only see what they want to see. And so, putting that in perspective, I think we do love ourselves. And we don't give ourselves enough credit for the love that we give to ourselves. Any thoughts on that?
If you loved yourself. Go on. On you go, Karen.
I think most of us have a real hard time loving ourselves because we're always trying to live up to other people's expectations, which is, again, why we're not the heroes of our own lives, because we're not wearing the Kardashian clothes or buying this perfume. I think we're distracted, but more and more of us, as we learn to love ourselves, we also allow more light to come through us. Again, we don't know we have a choice. Where many of us are taught to live to die. Most of us are taught to live to die, because then you get heaven. Then you get your final reward. This is only supposed to be a testing ground, and you better step between the lines and stay there, or you're going to hell, or you're not going here. You know, so I think it's still, we're taught to love outside of ourselves instead of to love from within ourselves, just like religions in the West are taught to pray outside of themselves to God, and then God gives the grace that comes back into us, where Eastern religions pray within to bring that divine essence without.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting, though, is that we already love ourselves, and to realize how we love ourselves, and that we're not messed up. There's nothing wrong with us. As Bob Dean put it, as he was going through his stuff since Korean War, as a contactee in the military of off-world life forms, he realized that it was the rest of the world that was messed up. He wasn't messed up at all. So I ask everyone to realize how much you love yourself, how much you do to help others. Give yourself credit for loving yourself and loving the things around you. And anybody who crams distortions in there, let them go down the road kicking cans. They can do whatever they want to. If they want to berate you, that's fine. But we already love ourselves.
Well, I think we still need a lot of lessons there, and I would encourage people during a private moment to go and to look in the mirror, you know, to go into a room that has a mirror and just take a private moment and really look in the mirror into your own eyes and say, I love you, and mean it, and learn to mean it if you don't now, because we're all an expression of that divine source that created us, that loves us with unlimited passion. And when we can do that, when we can finally think we're worthy of it, you know, I know that when I was struggling, because I hated myself for years, I had the biggest victim mentality, but then again, my life reflected my beliefs. And I wasn't able to do this. It was an exercise I learned of long ago, and it took me a long time to be able to do that. And I would think that it's, well, I don't know, Thomas, have you done that, or have you?
I went a little bit further than that, and I got rid of all my belief systems, and I don't use the word believe anymore. And anything that was a belief system, I look at it very carefully to see what evidence there is to support that belief system. And if there's evidence, then I've changed it to I know because of this experience or evidence. Otherwise, I don't know. And I'm not afraid to say I don't know, but I don't use the word believe. And that's,
I mean,
that's, that takes looking in the mirror and really looking at yourself and really parceling out what's there and what is to be kept, because a lot of times people use the word believe like it's a fact, and it's not.
Sorry. No, I mean, can you look in the mirror and or have you looked in the mirror and told yourself, you know, I love you, and really mean it?
Well, that's, for me, that's not necessary, because I already know that I love myself. Okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I would have already taken the 30-30 that's in the other room and made a nice extra orifice in my head with that 30-30, but I haven't. So I'm still here, and I love myself.
Well, you've got enough holes in your head. You don't need to add any more.
Thank you. Thank you for the vote of support.
Yeah. Way to encourage,
what do you
think,
huh? About that exercise.
Yeah. So let's again take that back into the, you know, the behind the scenes, looking at the world from the inside outwards, because the only way to understand what's going on in terms of how a plan is coming through is to look at it almost, you know, you have to put your mind in the mind of the psychopath. Which is a pretty scary place. You know, we've seen plenty of films about that. And Tracy certainly covered a couple on her show as well. So let's move into the programming versus the prophecy versus free will. How about that? Tracy, do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm not even sure what to say about that, Jay.
Right.
I'm still going over what Karen said, to be honest. No, I can't do that. I have to say, admittedly, oh, hell no.
You know, not Tracy, that. I couldn't do it before either, and I haven't done it in a long time, but after the program, I'm going to have to go do it for myself, too, because, and it's not about thinking that you're cooler or anything, it's just about recognizing that inside of us, that divine essence does love us unconditionally. And this is just the vehicle, like a car that we're wearing to get from point A to point B in this lifetime. And
I can't get past the face, Karen. Like I just took steroids, so now I look like the moon.
Oh.
Which but I realize all people worship, but I personally don't.
Well, but it's an illusion.
So when I look in the mirror, my first reaction is, and screaming.
Yeah, but Tracy, you know, I know it might hurt, right? And that will remind you of the unpleasantness. But here's the thing. How can you love yourself in all your possible ways unless you can love yourself, you know, beyond what you look like? You have to feel okay inside and be in that happy place.
And it's a tool, Tracy. I would encourage you to try it, and I will do it as well. But even just for a little bit, and listeners too, I know it's a big one. We can tell other people we love them, and we toss the word love around so easily. But the only time we can ever really truly love others is once we do love ourselves. And I would encourage you, you know, Tracy, I love you. I love your essence and your fire and your girlfriendness. And, you know, all of you. And it's just an illusion anyway.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Okay. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror.
And it's great.
And you're just about to say, I love you. And then something in your head says something. Okay.
Yes, true. True.
This is your point of truth. You have to face that. Deal with that. Because that's exactly the block to you getting to the point of being able to love yourself. And you go back to the mirror, and the next day you come back, and you just about to say, I love you, and something else comes up. But, you know. And then you deal with that. And that's what we call working on yourself. Until you can finally get to the point of saying, oh, I love you.
And it's also, when you do, Tracy, you're recognizing that the outer that you perceive is just the vehicle for your spirit. And it is a temporary vehicle that we're using right now. And the ability that you have to walk, think of all the things that you can do instead of the things that you can't do. And there are so many things. You know, like you were fortunate enough, you helped birth a wonderful son. You know, look at the positive things that you've done, and they should not be wrapped around what we look like, because what we are truly comes from within.
I think it's partly because, and I have to be honest about it, I never had to deal with that.
I'm going to put a link here in the chat room and Skype. I've already put it in the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room. And the only thing that picture asks is, did I tell you to start a religion? So JP liked that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's my kind of cartoon. And yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm against religion, but what I'm saying is that religion is it's like
crowd control.
Yeah, it's crowd control, but it's a bit like, you know, you got all right, say in Windows 95 you had a compressed WAV file and you could store it and replay it, right, versus an iPod. You know, it's like old technology. It's, you know, you don't need all that stuff anymore. Because you have it all inside you, and you just organize, and you say, I know where I'm at, you know where you're at, let's do it. There's nothing, this law says this, and we mustn't do this, and we've got to do it this way, and we have to say it this length, and, you know, we don't have to worry about all that, because you know how to boil water. You put heat under a pan of water, it boils eventually, you know. To extend your paradigm, it's obvious, but we don't always see the obvious because our minds are filled up to the brim with distress and illusion, because you inject illusion through distress, through trauma, and that's why we come into this world into the hospital and we're mutilated at 8 days if you're not lucky, and you know, and all that stuff. Anyway,
JP, I wanted to say one thing about the word love.
Love.
That people may make it a little bit easier for people to use that word and understand it. Love is an acronym. So think of love as an acronym and redefine the word love for yourself as an acronym and the actual definition. But the acronym is Living One Vibration Everywhere. That's what love means. That's what it's an acronym for, Living One Vibration Everywhere. And to redefine love away from what they've defined it for us as, the word love is very simply appreciation for the life form in front of you. not anything more difficult than that.
So, say we lose our ability to measure time in the form of a day. Do we lose the ability to measure time in the form of a second, in which case frequency will also change? Our way we express frequency may have to change. It may have to stay the same, I don't know. But say we had no regular thing that was we're able to check in the skies, apart from the vibration of the star Sirius, because that's the one that twinkles red, green, blue. Is it red? Red, white, blue, that's right. Maybe that's going to be like the way we measure time from some point onwards, because there's no other stellar reference to say that something's happening at this time. That's maybe part of how we, you know, maybe time won't make any difference anymore, because we, you know, it's not going to be the same, is it? It can't be the same. It can't be the same grind. It's not going to be a grind.
There's a definite chat of love, it looks like, for an acronym, saying living one vibration everywhere, or maybe that's loving one vibration everywhere.
Yeah, that came from me.
That's him. He's Sasquatch Spirit. Back to the love thing. Okay, so in the seven rays, the love ray is a very pivotal ray, really, because it's essentially that's the ray that our sun is emitting generally. Who's still here? I've got a problem with the call. Sound off?
I'm still here.
Tracy?
Thomas? I'm still here.
Karen?
I left.
Karen's on a bloop. Oh, well. Where was I? The love ray. So we have a solar system which is on the love ray, which we call the second ray of love wisdom. And the love wisdom we learn is through the torture and the suffering as we incarnate onto this planet and learn to be able, and you're going to love this, Thomas, learn to be able to adapt to our surroundings and our circumstances rather than trying to make the thing exactly as we want it to be, that we set up rules to make this world the way we think it ought to be, and that's what we call civilization. And we can rewrite that. We can make it so that a group of people could arrive in a place, live for a period of time, and leave the place, perhaps if they need to, or stay there forever, but to have no negative effect on the environment there, that they leave the place often better than it was in the first place. And that's very much is the kind of Turtle Island away. And given the communication from Tolek about the Dakota planet, which was like the seed of that, you could say that the Turtle Island nation is itself a celestial kingdom or nation. What do you think of that, Thomas?
I like that thought process on it, because there's so many things that go on here in North and South America, the Great Turtle Island, that are still mysteries to scientists. How does that work? They can't quite explain it or get a grasp of it. So, yes, I do like that.
Tracy?
Yeah, that's a nice one. I'm okay with that.
Don't make me purr again, okay? I'll
no. Karen, are you back?
Well, I've been in and out there, and I've seen the dreaded hourglass, so I didn't catch it all. Sorry, and I might be dropping off here because I'm not able to do anything now except for watch this, but at least I'm not on mute. So if I do disappear, you'll
well. We're 13 minutes out from the end of the show, so I'll say thank you right now, Karen. If we lose you, then we'll have said goodbye. So thank you for your input and your poetry and essentially the your visionary way of looking at these things.
Well, thank you for allowing me to join in this great conversation with like-minded individuals. And Tracy, girlfriend, love yourself. You know, try that, because I believe that comes with healing. And there's another comment in the chat room about how, well, I think I'm cool, but I can't really tell myself I love myself. That sounds gay. That sounds weird. But all you're doing is affirming that that the universe doesn't make mistakes. We are here by virtue of love. I believe we're loved into being here. We are the gift. And we just need to understand and unwrap that gift and allow our essence to shine through and love the opportunity we have forward and to co-create and to see just where we can take this wonderful transformative energy in this year of 2012.
Karen Quintostado, thank you very much. I want to just take a little exercise here. If you can imagine the last time that you were... This is everybody. That you can imagine the last time you were in love with someone. And, sort of explore the kind of feelings that you were having about that person. Now, a lot of the times that person turned out to be, you know, not what you thought. Because that person is not somebody else. That's you. That's your love. So, if people think that they're not lovable, they have to look at the idea that they've managed to love somebody else. And that's their love. And that's what your love feels like. I hope you get that. So, well, now 10 minutes to go. Thomas Hughes, Tracy Kennedy, Karen Quintostado, and thank you also to Randy Morgans for his contribution in the first hour. It's worked out perfectly, hasn't it? What an interesting conversation. We've taken it to some interesting places.
Oh yeah, what a great show! Just out of the blue. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I like the freestyle jam session. I mean, the whole, you know, this the poem thing. You know, that was a jam session. You know, there's whole, you know, I've got hours and hours and hours of stuff like that. You know, people playing tunies on different instruments at the same time. Sometimes there was a kind of rhythmic link. Sometimes there wasn't. But I didn't keep that stuff. Only the stuff when everything was kind of together. And it really works. There were moments. And it was just a matter of bringing people together, you know. We didn't have an organized house band or anything like that. It was just whoever wanted to play whatever instrument at the time. So that's why, you know, I'm playing the drums. Not much of a drummer, but there you go. So I like to explore the unexplored, and a moment of time is an unexplored territory. And it's interesting what we've been able to pull out of the ethers and the chat room and the general feelings just as we speak. So thank you guys for freestyling with me in Ever Beyond. Tracy, some closing comments?
Well, I have to say my son just ran into the room because he forgot something. Who is the most perfect being on this planet, I must say.
Oh. Not because he's mine.
He loves me, loves me, and gives me a big hug.
Oh.
And just said, do you know how beautiful you looked yesterday? Of course, he has love goggles.
No, he sees the true you, Tracy. And see, if you could see yourself through his eyes.
I think I broke some bones there. He's a big boy. But, when you were saying that to AA, I thought of my son. Didn't he just walk in the room like a herd of freaking turtles just to hear him? The loudest human being on this planet is my little boy.
He makes vibrations.
Oh, my God.
Well, it runs in the family, doesn't it?
My dad used to call him Dr. Destructo, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of energy there, you know. People who make vibrations, you know, musicians make vibrations. We take, you know, I stand there, I've got like loudspeakers that are shifting quarts and quarts of air per second. You know, when I hit that thin piece of metal stretched between two poles, and I, you know, it changed its tension. Incredible amounts of air are moved at great rates that can affect people's psychological conditions, their biological conditions, and physical conditions. It's quite a lot of power, and everybody makes vibrations. But when you learn to make enormous vibrations, you get a realization of the kind of noise that people make.
It's awesomeness. I love it. I love his little crashy baby self.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much for including me, JP. What a great end of the Sunday. Beautiful.
You're very welcome. It's been a great weekend for me, I must say.
Mm-hmm, lovely.
Thomas, are you there? Who's the problem with the call? Thomas, surely you haven't muted yourself. No, he's gone. No, Karen, are you still there?
Call him Shirley.
Ah, don't call me Shirley. Yeah.
So there he is gone.
There he was gone. Hey. So yeah. So essentially, we're going to be going through a dimensional process in the next year or so, which will involve some kind of elevation of the mind and elimination of the ability to be affected by propaganda, which is through emotions. We're going to go through a kind of emotional fatigue moment where suddenly it becomes not necessarily the case that we really desperately need that new thing, that new car, that new iPhone, that new iToot, you know, whatever it is, some kind of bit of rubbish. We're going to learn that there are other things happening and that it really doesn't matter about these things anymore. And it's all going to be like a memory. It's going to be like a dream. This whole life, you know, it's all going to be just a wispy kind of, oh, that was then, you know, back in the old days, back when there were days. So, anyone still here?
I'm still with you.
You're still with me? There we go.
I'm still with you. Where'd everyone go?
I don't know. They've all gone. They've gone without us. So, Thomas has left the building, as her.
Left the building.
And Karen has left the building, and there's a problem with this call. But I don't. Well, that's what they're saying. You know, Skype is saying that. Okay. But I don't. I have no problem. I haven't got a problem with the call.
Well, they may think there's a problem, but there is no problem. I hear you. You sound awesome.
Yep. There we go. And so do you. So, and I'm very glad that you've made your choices. And I think, you know, that's what people are facing. Everybody in their individual way is facing the choice. You know?
That's true.
And the choice is, here's the choice, over love or fear. If you're forced to do something out of fear and you've got a choice that you can make that involves love, guess what? Guess what? It's simple. You don't need to wait, you know, you don't need to have a recipe for boiling water.
There you go. And you don't need someone else's opinion on how it's going
to
go.
That's right. If it's anything to do with fear, then it's the opposite of the thing that's to do with love. And if you'd love to do something, that's the thing you should be doing.
And what about the unknown? When did that stop or start becoming uncool? Because something's unknown does not mean we need to solve everything. Sometimes that just leaves a mystery, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, well,
we don't just kind of enjoy that we don't know everything.
In the theory of structured programming, it's essentially if you're writing functions, you'll say thing to do the thing, without actually writing the code to do the thing. You just make a placeholder and say, this is the place where I'm going to do the stuff. do the good bit of this program, and you can then just keep on going and make the general structure, and then go back to it. So yes, we can lay out some pegs, some potential functions that we need to operate through, and then go back and fill them in a later show, in a later program. At this moment, we are coming to the end of the show, and where did the outro go? There we go. I found it again. So, I don't know what, I'm going to be having, that's awful. So what we're going to do is, we'll have some, Sam Muggsy later, or it might be Colleen. Anybody know?
No, I know nothing.
You know nothing.
I try not to think thoughts, as you know.
Oh, yes, that's right. Good.
Did Drake say anything earlier today? Yes. We are all saved.
Yeah, he said a lot of things. And it's all in a five-hour program. It was really intense. He answered everybody's questions that they answered four or five times. I think it was brilliant for being so patient.
He was. He's awesome. He's lovely.
He was, whatever people think of him, he was a very honorable and kind and generous person from my sense of him.
I thought so. An awesome host. I really enjoyed listening today. I didn't think I'd even listen, and I stayed up the whole time. It was awesome.
Excellent. So, anyway, I'm going to hit the theme tune now because it's time to end the program. I love this tune. This tune is called Seven.
Did you do it?
Yes, one of mine. It's called Seven Steps to Heaven.
It's lovely.
And, it was part of my Tantra suite. Well, it's the only bit so far.
Oh, really? What were you doing to that song? Yeah, actually.
Don't ask.
I thought of that when I first heard it. Said, hey. This is a dirty song. I can tell.
So, thank you very much. Welcome to Ever Beyond. Come back next week.